Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Bye, Skinky Podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
I've come today with a very heavy heart. Last night I couldn't sleep at all because President Trump, our president, has literally betrayed the conscience of our country, the very moral fabric in which we've made progress when it comes to race relations in America. He's failed us.
That was Republican strategist Giano Caldwell this morning, speaking directly to the president's comments yesterday, which he said betrayed the conscience of this country. A far stronger response than the top two Republicans in Congress. Knowing that he and Bannon were on the same team, did you vote for Donald Trump?
Pardon me?
Did you vote for Donald Trump? Did you vote for Donald Trump? We can crush the Democrats. We know that he made Breitbart the home of the alt-right. Knowing that he and Bannon were on the same team, did you vote for Donald Trump?
Pardon me?
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
What is that?
Well, my vote is always private. But moving on, though, I think that comment by Steve Bannon was pretty troubling. I don't see there's instances where Democrats do bring up race, which is for no purpose at all. It's just everything is about race. Certainly that does occur. But in this scenario, this is rightly put, this is about race. This is about a president who doesn't understand race relations in this country. This is about a president who said that there were some good people among Nazis and white supremacists. So when I hear that, I wonder, President Trump, who are these good people you're referring to? Because certainly good people don't pile around with white supremacists and Nazis. And if there are some folks that just want to hang around, then obviously they're racist people. So this situation, I think, is very different than some others that I've seen over the years.
I'll throw it over to you, Fernand, because you've been pretty tough on Republicans who are not naming Donald Trump by name, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. You've been tough on Marco Rubio, who still stands with the president. Do you think that Republican condemnation of bigotry is enough?
Not nearly enough, Joy. And if we can be honest with what happened yesterday, outside of the international shame and condemnation that Donald Trump brought to our nation, the shaming of our people and our country, what Donald Trump did yesterday was kill the Republican Party. Whatever was left of any moral authority that the Republican Party had in the denouncing of this type of hate, Donald Trump killed it. And what exists today, 24 hours later, is not the Republican Party, it's the Republic Klan, the Republic Klan Party.
Welcome to the show in real life, Fernand Amandi. Fernand, you need a vowel movement. It's very hard to say your name. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Goddess, it's good to be here.
Now, you've been listening to me since high school.
Should I say? Yeah.
Oh, that's me. See, that's my email.
Junior year in high school. It was back in the days when South Florida had the best talk radio in the country, bar none. It was Uncle Neil and then the Goddess. And I almost flunked out of high school because of it, because my teachers would see me listening with my little transistor radio. So it's a dream come true to be here with you.
Well, it's vice versa, because you're much, much cuter in person. I don't know. I'm going to have to call Joy and ask her what she's doing with the lighting. It's just not... It's not really showing off. By the way, I watched him walk across our parking lot. We're in a commerce park, and I watched him walk across the parking lot, and all I could hear was the Miami Vice theme song in my head. You know, it's like he's wearing the black jacket. It needs to be powder blue, and then you would be, what's his name? I know that, you know, I want you to fill in for us, okay, when we're out. And you have this, bond with my little Scotty, who I raised, you know, from a mere, you know.
You taught him well.
Mere teenager. So, you know, and Brett. They grew up in my house, these two. And so since you're going to be in my house, I'm going to treat you the way I treated them when they were miscreant teenagers, in this way. That man last night that was on the TV was in tears. He was crying, right? He was a Republican strategist, and he was crying.
Well, he was actually crying in the previous segment he had done on Fox earlier in the day. But yeah, he was actually on talking about that segment where he was crying earlier. He wasn't crying at the time. I would have been a little bit more gentle. But what really threw me for a loop, Randy, as you heard in his comments, is after being brought to tears because of what the president, those heinous comments, where he backtracked on his defense of neo-Nazis, which is still an unbelievable thing to say. He went out and defended the president on this broadcast and this program and in other areas, which was just galling to me. And I made the case, Randy, that, and I say this with a heavy heart, I grew up a Republican. I really did. My parents were Republican. And I always thought that even though I disagreed with some of the issues of the Republican Party, for the most part, it was an honorable party that had the interest of the country and personal freedom as its inherent core and value system. And Randy, to watch yesterday, 24 hours after the most heinous comments a president of the United States has ever said, to see not a single member of the party leave.
Oh, that's a whole different story.
Switch. I had to call it out for what I saw. And I think it's no longer the Republican Party. It's the Republic Klan Party, Randy.
No, I understand. But here's the thing. I think there are moments when I call them conversion moments. We had it after the whole Iraq war. You know, people would call me every day going, they got weapons of mass destruction. And I was spitting out a spleen trying to say, this is not what you want to do. We don't want to go to war in Iraq. And of course, at the end, we were right.
Sure.
And people divide into two different categories. People who were for the war. They will either say, they will lie like Trump did and said they were never for the war. They didn't vote for W, this kind of thing, right? And then on the other side, they will try to say, I'm still a Republican, but I think that was a mistake. Now, when you get somebody who is confessing to you, when you get somebody who is admitting that they made a bad decision, okay, that they supported something that turned out to be heinous, that turned out to be pure hell on earth, that turned out to be illegitimate, that turned out to be wrong and ugly and there's no words, you know, you have to let them have a moment. You have to sort of, you know, let them have this conversion moment. If you wanted to take a person like that and make them more amenable to your ideas, what you say to them is, you know, it took a big man to say that. This was a real man moment in your life, and I thank you for that. I watched a Democratic strategist deal with the same guy, and she was, you know, loaded for bear too, because, you know, it's heinous. She was an African American woman, and she had it, you know. But the second that he started to say, I denounce what he did. I denounce, you know. But you went after the whole ideology all at once. It's kind of like I said to Scotty today. I said, you know, Scotty, if you his wife's name is Dom, right? And I said, if you and Dom had a fight 6 months ago, and she didn't apologize, she hadn't apologized, and there was, you know, this grudge that was still going on, and then 6 months later she comes to you, and she says, you know, that fight that we had, I made a bad decision. I chose the wrong side of that argument, and I just want to let you know I was wrong. Do you then jump into their face and say, well, let's rehash the whole fight, or do you just say, that was big of you, and I really appreciate that you, and then gradually you take them, you know, these are conversion moments, and I'm speaking to you as an elder. That's why I asked you how long you've been listening, because if you're going to make me feel like an old lady, then I'm going to act like one. And the truth of the matter is that I have a lot of experience working where you worked in that same environment, and then working nationally and being, you know, called every name in the book. And it's fine to get angry when somebody's just attacking you personally. But when somebody calls you and somebody is confessing to you.
Sure.
That they've made a bad decision, or that they are, you see that they're almost ripe for conversion. You have to recruit them.
I mean, I hear you, Randy, and my comments yesterday were no way focused on Gianno, and I think that, like you said, I mean, it was courageous of him to speak that.
It was.
And to say what he said. Having said that, as a principle, unfortunately, I have found, and it'd be interesting to see what your many listeners think about this subject, but I have found that there is a lack of good faith with so many folks who currently support the president today. You made the example of Scotty's wife, Dom. I think the difference there is that Dom is a good faith person. And, you know, people have arguments, people have disagreements, but when it's done in a bubble of good faith, it changes. What I see with most Trump supporters, and this is unfortunate, but there is a willingness, almost a cherry-picking deliberateness, to choose arguments that they know are difficult for you to get into defending and making the case for and arguing those points.
Well, like I said, when somebody says that their argument with you is, well, I'm going to pick an embarrassing moment from your life, or I'm going to pick an embarrassing thing that your party did, and you know, like, well, what if Hillary did it? These kinds of stupid arguments, then fine, you know, blow them out of the water. But when somebody is confessing to you that they made a wrong decision, or they made a mistake, or that this doesn't stand with it, and they have to, you know, call out the person that they were so loyal to, they campaigned for, they did work for, they were involved in what he was saying. They believed that maybe the whole system was corrupt and that this was the only chance they had. If they then turn around to you and say, I was wrong, this man is unfit, what he said was virulent, was vile, was ugly, was unacceptable, he's a fool, you're right, he was a Democrat. You got to give them space to breathe before you take on the whole party.
I don't disagree with you, but I thought it was an important moment, Randy, because look, let's also be honest. The mainstream media, I think, is getting a little bit better, but right now they have allowed this clear and present danger threat of this Trump presidency, which so many of us saw coming months and even years ago,
absolutely,
to manifest. I don't think it's time for silence. I don't think it's time for diluting the impact of your words. I think we need to speak with great strength and with great clarity. And I think much more important than converting, in that case, Gianno last night, was to send a message to the United States of America that a historic, honorable party in America, which was the Republican Party, is no longer. That party is dead. It's been killed by the president.
See, this
it's
is
now the
thing.
Republic Klan Party that offers always, comfort to white supremacist Nazis.
They have always been that.
I don't believe that.
No, maybe. They have always been that. Richard Nixon was a devout racist anti-Semite. I mean, the Republican Party.
Yes, but Gerald Ford was not. George H.W. Bush was not.
Gerald Ford never was elected. So, you know.
George H.W. Bush was not. I don't believe George W. Bush was a racist. And I don't disagree with you that maybe there were some ignoble characters, Dwight Eisenhower. And even going back to Lincoln, the founder, one of the forefathers of that party.
Yeah, that Republican Party is not the Republican Party. I mean, the party's flipped in after the Civil Rights Movement, you know. And the Southern Democrats became Republicans, and that is the current Republican Party. But that said, all I'm saying to you is that if a person comes to you with their heart in their hand and they're saying, this man did something that was so disgusting, he is unfit to serve, what he said, don't.
But he wasn't saying that last night. Well, he was simply saying that those comments in particular,
right,
hurt and offended him, but that he still supported his presidency. He was still backing him, and he was still a Republican that
was
happy to be in the party.
No, he didn't say he was backing him. He said that he was still backing the Republican Party because he came from the South Side of Chicago, and he had seen racial politics, and he wanted to be a change agent.
And that he had been critical of Trump in moments, but he wasn't rescinding his support, which is what made Joy and I so aghast at those comments.
That's because you went after him instead of accepting his door opening. I mean, it was just a little opening of a door into his mind, you know, and we could have presented ourselves as somebody to look up to instead of somebody who is going to slap you across the face, you know, the second you admit that you voted for a racist.
I mean, it's great advice what you're saying, but Randy, I will say I really was not directing my comments towards him. It was more of a statement on what I found to be an unacceptable posture by this Republican Party that controls all of the branches, by the
way,
of our government.
They have always been like this, Armand. I don't know exactly, you know, what went on in your house and what the argument was for Republicanism, but the idea that they play racial politics is, I mean, they're vote suppressors. They're gerrymandering. They play the race card every chance they get.
Yeah, that's certainly the modern Republican
Ronald
Party of the
Reagan,
21st century.
When he ran for president, he started his entire run in Philadelphia, Mississippi, the site of one of the most heinous put downs of the civil rights movement, and started talking about states' rights. They have always dog whistled to white people. This is just so much more overt. You almost have to applaud the honesty of this moron, for just saying, I see no difference between anti-Semites, white racists, Nazis, the nice people that, you know, were there. I can tell who was the, I mean, I know of no one that would have walked into that melee of people with torches and said, oh, look, there's people with torches wearing Nazi regalia and flying Nazi flags. I think I ought to hang out with them. That wasn't a racist, so I don't know.
Randy, far be it from me to defend the modern Republican Party, but I will say this. There was at least a fig leaf of an idea of a moral authority. And I point back to even George W. Bush, certainly not my favorite president, certainly one of the most horrific presidents this country's ever seen. But even in the aftermath of 9/11, when there was a sentiment amongst white supremacists and others to go after the Muslim community, he issued a very strong denunciation of those feelings in defense of the community. That doesn't exist anymore, period. There is zero faith or good conscience in the Republican Party.
I understand that he wanted to keep law and order in this country, and so he tried to not start a civil war, that it was in his best interest to do so because we were dealing with the aftermath of 3,000 dead people and, you know, standing on a pile of rubble. It was just, you know, a shocking event, and he thought the whole country could look like this if I don't say the right thing. But this is a man who privatized prisons. That is the new Jim Crow. So let's not go so far as to say that Republicans like W weren't racist. And listen, they have had racist policies for a very, very long time. This is really nothing new. What's new is he's so overt about it, and what's new is they've taken their hoods off. They're emboldened by his brand of overt racism to the point where they don't think they need to hide their faces. Well, good for us, because now we can take pictures of them, and we can put it on Yes, You're Racist, and their employers can recognize that this guy's working for me. I don't want that in my place. So that's good. I mean, there's always, you know, a little something to get. You know, when they take their masks off, okay, there's something to be had there. But all I'm saying is to not realize that the Republican Party has militarized police every chance they get, produced income inequality the likes of this, you know, that we've never seen in this country, and it was all directed at, you know, the moneyed elite, the white, you know, supreme ones, the whatever, that they have fostered, all kinds of dog whistles and incarceration, mass incarceration, and different penalties for what the drugs that white people use versus the crack cocaine that black people use, different, you know, sentencing disparities and all that. To deny that party is a racist party and has played this game for as long as I'm alive is to deny that the Republican Party is who they are. It's just, it's a ridiculous notion that they're you know, better on civil rights than the Democratic Party.
No, I don't think that's a fair case to be made at all. And I think you're right. The party that we see today is a radicalized racist Republican Party. But I guess I'm going to be stubborn on this one. I just don't feel like the Republican Party that I remember as a boy and even growing up. I thought George H.W. Bush, although where there were many elements where they played ugly cards, and Willie Horton is Exhibit A during that 88 campaign.
His father, yeah.
They used a black ex-con who was a horrible person, by the way, Willie Horton, when I'm making note of, but they basically turned him into a boogeyman to scare people all around the country.
But that is what they do.
But he was an honorable man, and I'll tell you what, I've spoken, Brandy, with many people in the White House, many people that were former staff of H.W. Bush, and they said that he personally treated them better than anybody else. I know they're very comfortable around the Hispanic community,
He's very comfortable around other elites. Listen, Richard Painter is a regular guest on this show. He was
ask him about that.
No, I mean, but honest to God, this mass incarceration, the privatization of prisons, Jeb Bush did Stand Your Ground. It was the first Stand Your Ground law ever in America, and it was done here in Florida. They don't have clean hands. I'm sorry. What the difference here is that we have a bumbling idiot who is an embarrassment to us on the world stage, an embarrassment to us. Look, and what he has, you know, the only thing he could fall back on are these white supremacists, and that's why he doubles down on it. This is his base.
Yeah,
that's what
we're seeing today, certainly with his tweets today.
And so he obviously is not willing to let these people go, and I'm going to explain to you exactly why. You know, these are the buffers. When Mueller gets done with his investigation and Donald Trump gets, I'm not sure, the jury's still out on whether you can indict a president, okay? I'm not sure if impeachment, you know, this is an unsettled question. We have not had this problem before, so we don't know the answer. But when Mueller is done and Jared Kushner realizes this is the asshole I'm going to jail for, an anti-Semite, right? And everybody starts talking, and Trump finally gets implicated. That base of his is going to be all he has left. And they are violent, and they are extremists, and they are like cult-like with regard to him. They will cause violence in this country. They will make him into a martyr. They will. And that is why he keeps them, foaming at the mouth. But when you have a guy who obviously felt that his the best thing for his life to be a change agent is to insert himself into the Republican Party and change it from within. And now he realizes that the change that he brought is so covert, is so overtly racist that he denounces it. You know, you got to kind of give him a moment. You got to.
Well, let's do this. I have an idea. Why don't we bring Jono on the program and we'll do a redo?
I would love to.
How about we do that? Maybe we can get Scotty to help make that happen and we can give him an opportunity. But here's what I predict. I predict he is not going to back off on his position, and he's going to have that little, you know, moment with Trump on this indefensible racial issue, and then you're going to see him retreat right back because, unfortunately,
to Trump
and to the Republican Party.
No, he will retreat to the Republican Party. This
unfortunately,
is the
there are
the
just some
is,
people you're never going to get.
No, the point is that you can't take on the whole ideology. You got to just pick a moment and say it took a real man to say that. You know what I mean? You have to give him an attaboy. That's how you bring people into the fold. You have to make them feel welcome. You have to let them know that if they do admit their wrongheadedness, if they do admit and they genuflect in front of you, there. I mean, literally, he was prostrate, right? So if you do admit that with tears coming out of your eyes, give him an attaboy.
We've seen that coddling, Randy, of every Republican elected official in the Trump era.
He wasn't
going after.
Whether
it's Marco Rubio
or
Paul
Ryan,
every time something happens.
You were making it too broad. You should have, like the idea that, I've been, in my day, I used to have to debate the likes of Ben Ferguson and, you name it, Hugh Hewitt, who was really rabid back then. He's moderated himself a lot. And I mean, I used to have to debate all of them, and some of them are, nauseatingly lying to your face. Okay. And that look, Ben Ferguson is a liar. Ben Ferguson is a wimp. If you call him out, I asked him, why don't you go to war? He was 24 years old when I debated him the first time, and it was all about the Iraq War. And I said to him, well, you're 24 years old. I said he was 22. So I said, you're 22 years old. When I was 22, I was in the military. Why don't you go and fight this war? And he said something like, oh, just because I like, Baskin and Robbins doesn't mean I have to put on their uniform or something like this. And I just started screaming. I lost it. I said, then you go, because a lot of people were going to go and risk their lives and sacrifice their limbs and do all this. And he was just a warmonger. He still is. He's just a liar. And okay, that's a clear cut case. But I have had moments with Republicans. Especially Michael Smirkanish. Michael
yes.
Smirkanish and I used to go head to head. We used to argue. But Michael was a fair guy. And if Michael said something that I could agree with, if there was any place that we could find that we would agree, we would try to do that. We would try and do that. And now I got to say, I appreciate the kind of show he does because he tries to do it right down
the
middle.
Well, listen,
so that's how you bring people over.
Even Scotty will tell you this, when I was on WIOD, any Republican that we thought in good faith was breaking with what was this indefensible president and administration, whether it was a Rick Wilson, a Dave Jolly, we would not only welcome them with open arms and give them that space, we would continue to give them a voice, because I think there's nothing more important, Randy, than to have people of the former Republican Party come out and denounce his president. What I'm just not in a position to do, because I don't believe that it's doable, unfortunately, in most cases, there's always exceptions, is to give a voice to bad faith actors here who are going to defend
what did he have to gain by crying on the TV last night? I mean, what did he have to gain by saying that Trump has violated the conscience?
But again, my thing is not about Jono. I give Jono credit, and I think you're right. He should be commended for showing emotion over something that obviously bothered him.
But see, I'll say that. I mean, I've just talked to Rick Wilson the other day. We had a really legitimate conversation. I called him out on things that he claims free market, whatever. I was like, please, they're shareholders, but. But Rick was a never Trumper. That is a different case than getting a guy who supported him and everything that he hoped and everything he invested in this guy. It's like talking to the Bernie bros. Listen, I was a Bernie supporter, but once Bernie wasn't viable and it became Hillary Clinton, and I am no fan of hers, none. I mean, this woman literally disowned me in public, caused me to lose my job. I mean, people know the story. Rick Wilson knew the story, but not to relive it. I kept saying to my audience that were Bernie bros, that were like, I will not vote, I will not this, I will, that one of, we only get two choices because of the Electoral College, which is really the problem. At the root of everything that plagues us, it is the Electoral College, because you only get two choices in a country, 350 million diverse opinions, right? You get two lousy choices. So I kept saying to them, one is a fascist and one isn't. Just go vote. People refused. This is how we got here. Okay, you try as hard as you can to find the lesser of two evils. This guy obviously still loves the Republican Party. He feels being inside it is a better place for him because he could be an agent of change as an African-American kid from the south side of Chicago.
Well, then let's talk about that,
but
Randy.
But he was on the TV.
Okay, but let's talk about that because here's an African-American man, and I'll even grant you he's a good faith Republican. The precious few that are left, and I hope that there are still more of them out there, but let's grant you what happened. He watched his party yesterday, where the titular head of his party, who also happens to be the president of the United States, endorsed and gave aid and comfort to Nazis,
yes,
and white supremacists. And at the same time, Randy, at the same time, not a single leader or member, elected member of that party, denounced the president by name.
Yeah, they did.
Left the party.
They did. No, nobody's left the party yet. But they
resigned in protest.
Nobody's resigned in protest.
In other words, sanctifying.
But the Joint Chiefs came out. Lindsey Graham came out. Ted Cruz, who, you know, listen, that Ted Cruz is a wimp because, you know, you can insult Ted Cruz.
You know what they did? They talked, Randy. Where are the actions? I'm sick of talk.
Well, but you say that they didn't come out, and they did. They did come out. There were only 15 of them. I mean, I have a list of the ones that did. You had the guy from Colorado, Corey, whatever his name. You know, you did have some. And so, that's what I'm saying.
No, but they condemned what the president. They didn't condemn the president. The person responsible.
Yeah,
here
they
is
did.
The president
they
of
did,
the United
Fernand.
States.
And when
he's
you see that,
monger.
What I'm saying is, if a door opens, even and you see, if you're in a dark room, and you're fighting, and then the door opens and a crack of light comes in. That crack of light could be the thing that actually, you know, saves you from you know, not being able to exit this horrible, torture chamber you're in. Just that crack of light. So if the guy from the senator from Colorado, if Lindsey Graham, okay, listen, no fan. If John McCain, if Ted Cruz, God, I can't stand that guy. Okay, Marco Rubio, also an opportunist. But if they crack open the door.
They've done it 1,000 times. They're the boys who cried wolf. And I'll say this. If I had the power last night, little old me, on a 30-second television segment to get Gianno.
You're missing
Gianno,
the point.
No. By granting him the point that you said, giving him the attaboy, which would have had him leave the Republican Party, then I will say mea culpa, and I'll give him another opportunity. But that ain't happening.
Okay. Shawanda in Dayton, Ohio.
Hi, Randy. I'm disagreeing with your guest right now. In 1964, that was the main reason why the Republican Party switched. It was because of racism, supporting the Klan, supporting the neo-Nazis. I disagree with him because if you are a true American and that you will not put up with the stupidity what 45 is doing right now, because I refuse to say
no. He's on your side there.
We're arguing of Donald Trump that exists.
Yeah, no, we're arguing.
But you said the Republican Party is not. Earlier you stated the Republican Party is not racist. If you voted for Trump, he said it many times.
Ma'am. What I said was, I said that the Republican Party today, I call them the Republican Party. It is an entirely racist party. What I said was, historically, that was not the case.
Yeah, but it was.
I mean, Randy and I just disagree on this one a little bit. I don't think the Republican Party was 100% racist, even the party of 64 and even the party of Goldwater.
And that's
Well, we disagree on that one.
Really, Wallace? You don't think that? I mean, Wallace was like, you know, segregation now. Jeff Sessions and his era, you know. I mean, these people are racist. The Republican Party is racist. They have always been.
That's just intellectually dishonest, in my opinion. To say every Republican office holder is racist.
No, the party, the party's position on race has been to devise newer, more modern versions of Jim Crow. That is what the Republican Party does.
And if you look at what Trump has and ran on, was division, was racism.
Yeah, he ran. I mean, but Ferdinand's not a Trump supporter.
I disagree with him saying that the Republican Party is not a racist party. That is what I'm disagreeing with you.
I get you.
We disagree. I think the Republican Party of 2017 is a racist party. And what
it
we've
always
seen
was.
In the 21st century, for
it
sure.
Always
not
was.
Always. I just
it
disagree
always
with that.
Was. Yes.
You know what? As soon as the Democrats became the Dixiecrats and the South became the Republicans, you know, Dixiecrats equal Republicans, and the parties flipped, literally flipped. From that moment on, the Republican Party has been a racist party, looking for new and better ways to dilute the black vote, to incarcerate young blacks, to break up black families. It's a different form of slavery, but they still had the same goal, and that was to just dilute African American families. That's kind
of they could no longer say slavery. So the Jim Crow was the new form of slavery, and what Trump and his cronies are doing is another one, because they're slowly turning.
Well,
back
you see the difference between Trump, the difference between Trump's brand of racism and the kind of covert brand of racism that says 19-year-old black boys can't get out of the draft, you guys are going to Vietnam, but if you're a white kid, you can get a deferment, if you go, you know, your parents pay for college, and then of course the mass incarceration in the 80s with Ronald Reagan and the crack and powder cocaine things, and now, you know,
the welfare queen and the whole thing, Willie Horton,
right, Philadelphia, Mississippi,
and it's not just the African American,
the states' rights talk, it's all code. It's all code.
Right.
I mean, I agree with you. I know. But Ferdinand, I think Ferdinand and I were arguing a much finer point.
A much finer point.
A much, much finer point. I played that clip of him last night because I was yearning for a little compassion for a guy who admitted that Trump had shocked the conscience of America as a Trump supporter. That guy, that Gianno Caldwell, that Ferdinand was on Joy Reid with last night. He's a Trump supporter, and he said that Trump had shocked his conscience, and he was actually weeping. He went on Fox News and denounced Trump's racism. And the only fine point I'm arguing with Fernand, who, you know, is going to be my fill-in, that's how much I love him, and that's how much I trust him, is that Gianno should have had a little bit of an attaboy, just for the little tiny, teeny, tiny baby step he took.
Hey, Gianno, if you're listening, attaboy.
Oh, see, that's good. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Fernand's going to stay. He wants to, you know, feel comfortable with you. Go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.